This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, let's bring on Danny Cunningham. He always looks good. And he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's from Cleveland Magazine. You obviously hear him here on 92.3 The Fan. Hello, Danny.
Well, thank you for the kind words. Good morning.
It's wonderful to hear you. Is the series over?
They have to play two more games, but I don't see how Orlando's going to win four of the next five. I think at this point you can pencil the Cavs into the second round, certainly.
Okay. Tone,
what has surprised you the most? I thought, Danny, it was going to be a competitive series. I had the Cavs in five, but I thought the games would be closer. This is just an ass-kicking.
I think the way that the Cavs have stepped up physically has surprised me the most, especially coming off of last year's series against the Knicks. Like, you knew the Cavs came into this series with something to prove, no matter who they were playing against. They were going to have something to prove on the physicality end of things. The way Jared Allen has played, it has kind of mirrored his regular season that I don't think he gets enough credit for because of last year's playoffs, but he's been fantastic. Like, he's grabbing almost a quarter of the available rebounds when he's on the floor. What Evan Mobley's done defensively against Paolo Banchero, I think, has been really, really impressive. I mean, Banchero's got 15 turnovers in the first two games of the series, and Evan Mobley's a big reason for that. I also thought Evan Mobley's aggressiveness offensively, particularly in game one, where they tried to switch smaller guys onto him after he hit a couple of threes. And, you know, he just takes Cole Anthony right to the post and goes and gets a couple of buckets. Like, the way they've played, the way they have amped up their physicality to match what the playoffs typically look like has really impressed me.
Danny Cunningham joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How did Darius Garland play to you last night? I think he's playing through an injury, but I thought he played pretty decent. I immediately got ripped on social media for saying that last segment.
I thought he had a good second half. That first half, it's hard to judge because he played 10 minutes. He only took one shot. He's had to sit with foul trouble. It's hard to find your rhythm when you're immediately in foul trouble early on in a game. And I don't want to say, oh, he gets a pass for that. And I do think that he's playing through a little bit of something. I think that back is a little bit of an issue for him right now, but it's the playoffs, and you've got to play through those things. And to his credit, he is. And J.B. Bickerstaff was asked about that last night after the game, and he basically said it's the playoffs. He's fine. And that's where we're at with this. I thought he looked really good in the second half. I thought he looked confident in the second half, probably the most confident I've seen him in a couple of months, maybe even a little bit longer than that. There were a couple instances where Orlando, the Cavs wanted to run a pick and roll with Darius Garland. Orlando went under the screen, and he just immediately stepped into a three and made it. I believe it was two threes in a three possession span, and that is what the Cavs need from Darius Garland. If teams are going to do that, he's absolutely capable of punishing them, and that's what he did last night. And I just think that confidence really is something that he needs for his game to be where the Cavs need it to be.
Well, speaking of punishment, I mean, the Cavs have out-physicaled Orlando. I think the Magic have attempted to get chippy. I think the Cavs have responded with their version of chippy. I think it's been great to watch. And even though it's kind of tough to watch at times, I think they delivered all the blows they've needed to deliver in this series.
Yeah, it looks like Cavs and Knicks last year, except the roles have been reversed for the Cavs, doesn't it? I mean, that's what this series reminds me of. Neither one of these teams looks great offensively, and you do have to give Orlando some credit on the defensive end of the floor. Like, they came into this series as a good defensive team. I think for the most part, they've played good defense. It's just the Cavs have gone from a team that in the second half of the year, I don't think they put forth very much effort defensively, and that has ratcheted way back up, and they've been so much better on that end of the floor. But the Magic also look like a team that, you know, most of those guys have never played in a playoff series, and I think that's very, very clear through the first two games. I'm sure they'll get a bump as they go to Orlando. I wouldn't be surprised if Orlando wins one of those games, but you know, they look like a team that's never been here before. We saw it firsthand with the Cavs last year. I think we're seeing it with the Magic right now. And to the Cavs' credit, they look like a team that's been here before. And that matters to me.
Danny, how healthy is Donovan Mitchell right now?
I didn't to ever say someone that's gone through what he's gone through is 100%. I do think that knee is looking the best it's looked since the All-Star break. There are a couple of things that Donovan does that kind of are a tell to me that he's feeling good. One of them is when he's at the left elbow and he goes that really quick spin move and is able to get to the basket. The other one is when he does that move with the basketball where it almost looks like a carry when he's driving to the rim, where he'll gather it over the head of a defender. And he broke that out last night. He missed the layup, but he broke that out when he's doing that. And then additionally, like the really hard step back three that he'll take, when he's doing those things, and we've seen two out of the three of those, and I think the third we haven't seen because of how Orlando's defending him. When we see that, it makes me feel as if he's feeling pretty good with his lower body. I know he got elbowed in the ribs last night. I wouldn't take that as something that is going to be a concern moving forward. That happens. It's the playoffs. I wouldn't be too concerned about that. But I do think he is healthier than he's been in a couple of months right now. I think the week off really did him well.
The only thing I'm noticing in terms of a limitation is maybe some burst and elevation around the rim, but he makes up for it with his IQ. His playmaking has been absolutely sensational.
It has been. And, you know, there was a play in game one where it was a beautiful drop-off to Jared Allen after, I believe, a spin move to get near the basket. In the regular season, maybe that's a dunk, but it was such a great pass. Like, you can't be upset that he didn't throw it down with two hands, especially considering some of the physicality and the size that Orlando's playing with. So while, sure, he's not 100%, he's not the guy that we've seen in the last couple of Novembers, and he's just never going to be 100% physically with what he's gone through this year. I think he's been about as good as the Cavs can hope for in terms of his physical condition right now.
So in the lead up to this series, obviously Cavs fans, and I was one of them, we were very nervous about JB Bickerstaff. Were we unfair? Because he, to me, has totally outcoached Jamal Mosley, who is a Coach of the Year candidate this year.
I don't think we were unfair because you have to go off what you have, right? You have to go off all.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Of the evidence that you have, and if you look at last year in the playoffs for JB, was a nightmare. The second half of the season for JB, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that Donovan Mitchell didn't look like Donovan Mitchell, but the Cavs weren't playing very good, and they were not playing defense, which was the thing that you could always point to with JB, say, hey, his teams are going to defend at a high level, and they weren't doing that in the second half of the season. But I think he's been terrific in the first two games of the series. I think he has absolutely worked Jamal Mosley. I thought that the rotations have been good. I think that the way that they have changed things up at times defensively, there have been a couple possessions in the series where they've gone to zone coming out of timeouts when Orlando's looking to get something easy to, you know, start to build a little bit of momentum after they call a timeout. The Cavs have gone to zone, and it hasn't worked for Orlando. I thought that shortening the rotation a little bit last night made some sense, too, to where, you know, the old thing in the playoffs is you play eight and trust seven, and the Cavs probably have a few more guys that they can play and trust. But last night, it was an important game. You know, George Niang hasn't played very well, hasn't made shots in the series. He only played, I believe, 11 minutes last night, or a low number like that, where the rotation got shortened. Sam Merrill's gotten one stint in this playoffs. He didn't hit shots in game one. He didn't play last night. It's hard to fault JB for doing that. I think he's been very, very good in this series so far. I'm very interested to see what it looks like when this series shifts down to Orlando.
Danny Cunningham joining us on the hotline after attending last night's game. So I made the point over the last week that at a certain point in that last third of the Cavs season, I was just ready to get to the playoffs because the Cavs were not healthy. Now they're healthy and they are rolling. This looks like the 18-2 Cavaliers. Do you think that is part of this dominance is just simply they're healthy? And do a lot of us need to reevaluate what we were saying about the team in the last third of the year?
Yeah, I think they're healthier than they've been since, you know, Donovan. There's that video of Donovan flinching at the free throw line in that game against the Bulls. It was the last game before the All-Star break. They are the healthiest they've been since then. Yeah, Darius might be dealing with a little bit of a back thing, and no one in the NBA is 100%. You are not going to find a rotation player in basketball right now that is 100%. So I do think that health is a big factor for it, and some of the other, you know, minor bumps and bruises are a little bit easier to get over, but when it's Donovan Mitchell is the guy that is dealing with the biggest health issue down the second half of the season, that's going to affect the team the most, and I think it's pretty fair to say he was affected by that knee injury until really, I thought there were some signs that he was starting to look, maybe glimpses is a better way to phrase it, when the Cavs went out west, like there were glimpses of him being himself. And then you saw that Indiana game, and I think that was the thing, that the way he played against the Pacers, his final regular season game, that was the thing that made me feel, okay, this week off's going to do him really well, and then I expect to see Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs, like the Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs, and that's what we've seen so far. Like, I know his counting stats weren't great last night, but he was just in complete control in that first half, and then the Cavs didn't need him to do a ton in the second half. Like, last night, I thought he was just absolutely awesome.
Danny Cunningham joining us on the show. Well, there's not a lot of reasons to complain because things are going very well. We won't see, I assume we might not see one Mississippi Merrill, Sam Merrill, for the rest of the series. Is just not in the cards in this matchup?
I mean, I would never say never. The Cavs could certainly go to him when if they need shots to be made. But I think that the first two games of this series have very clearly shown us that this is a defense-first series. Isaac Okoro, I think, has played great basketball, and he hit a couple of big shots last night. He, I thought, had a very strong run in the first half. It just might not be the series for Sam Merrill. Now, they might need offense at a certain point, and I think he's the guy that JB would go to off the bench to try and provide that spark. But as things stand right now, with this being such a low-scoring series and Orlando's offense just looking like it's from the Stone Age, I think the Cavs would prefer to keep Orlando's offense feeling as bad as they've been feeling through the first two games, and that might mean no Sam Merrill.
I think that things got a little bit chippy in the fourth quarter there. It seemed that Orlando was ready to get on the plane and go back home, but while they were doing it, they were going to get their shots in. Should we be worried about something like that on Thursday night as they might take their last gasp in the series back at home in front of their home crowd?
I think you should always worry about that in a playoff series, especially when it's a playoff series that has been as physical as this one. Because Orlando is Thursday night. They're in front of their home fans. They're playing for their playoff lives. Like, if they lose this series, everyone in that locker room, everyone in that organization knows, or if they lose that game, excuse me, everyone in that locker room organization, they know that this series is over. That is not a team that's coming back from down three games to nothing. Everyone knows that. They're playing for their playoff lives. They're going to scratch and claw and do everything they possibly can to try and win that game and try and be able to look themselves in the mirror and say, we are back in this series. We still have a chance to win this series. The way the Cavs have responded to everything so far, you know, you go back to game one and the way that Mo Wagner's trying to mix it up, and I thought the Cavs have appropriately responded to just about everything Orlando has thrown at them, whether it's been dirty or not. That is something that I think has been a really good sign. But you should always worry when a team goes home down 2-0, especially if the Cavs have a lead in the fourth quarter. I think that's when you could see something dirty in game three.
Last one, Danny, because we got to go. Did Kobe Altman and the Cavalier franchise make the savvy move doing everything they could to take on the Orlando Magic in round one of the playoffs?
I think it's very clear that this is the best matchup for the Cavs.
All right, yes.
But what is their playoff ceiling now? If they were, because I don't think Orlando's the only team they would have beaten in the playoffs. Like, I firmly believe it might not look like this, but I believe they would have beat the Pacers in a 7-game series too. And then after that, they wouldn't be facing the Boston Celtics in the second round. For me, the issue with how things were handled at the end of the regular season was never about the first round. I was confident if they got Orlando or Indiana, they would win that series pretty convincingly. But now they're staring at a date with the Boston Celtics in the second round, and I don't feel nearly as confident about that.
Yeah, Dave, would you rather play them when you're fully healthy? I mean, what would be left of the Cavs in another month if that's when we saw them?
I don't know. I can't answer that. There's obviously no way to know that, but you would at least be able to say you got to the conference finals if you saw them in another month as opposed to winning a single playoff series. I think winning two playoff series would feel much better than winning one.
Danny, thank you very much for the time. It was glorious. All the best.
Anytime for you guys.
Danny Cunningham. Follow him on Twitter, at RealDCunningham, Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.